When we think of Christmas, what do we think about? Baby Jesus, okay. Who else? Y'all go to church much? What? Shepherds. Wise men. Who? Mary and Joseph. Okay. I want to speak about what I call the forgotten man at Christmas. And that would be Joseph. We hear a lot about Jesus, and we should. And we hear a lot about Mary, and we should. But Joseph, we don't often hear a whole lot about him. I have a whole side of paper. 10 times in 2 chapters that Joseph is mentioned. I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 1 for the most part. And I just want to share with you what kind of man Joseph was. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a wealthy man. He wasn't a man of prominence and authority. We know him simply as a carpenter. And I've done a little bit of that in my life, and I know how it feels to work with wood. And Joseph did too. But he didn't have Black and Decker, Sears and Roebuck, or Lowe's to buy his tools from. They were all crude, handmade. Took a long time to cut a piece of wood down to the size that he needed to make something. So carpentry was not the most sought-after job in the world, but I am sure that Joseph was a good carpenter. But the first thing we hear about him is in Matthew chapter 1, and if you'll turn, I'm not going to read all of these names because I think the pastor would get upset about it, so we won't do that. But Joseph is a direct descendant of David, King David, and therefore in the royal line of descendants. And that's interesting because it's through his line, and he becomes the stepfather, if you want to use that term. I don't know if they used that term back in those days, but we do today, of Jesus. And he was chosen for this part. God had already prepared him. He was chosen for this part. Now, the first mention that we have of Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 is found in verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. What a statement. Good statement. Grand statement. He is the husband of Mary who bore the Messiah, the Christ of God. Now, he had to be someone special, just as Mary was someone special. Mary loved the Lord. Mary knew the law. Mary was obedient to what light they had at that particular point in time. And so Joseph had to be of like mind. Now, the second time that Joseph is mentioned is back here just a little ways. Let's see. Verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. What a statement. What a statement. Put yourself back in that time factor around 4 or 5 B.C. The Jewish law says that if a woman was found in adultery, she would be stoned. And when Mary got the message from the angel, She was astonished, shocked, and overwhelmed to hear this. But she said, okay, Lord, this is your will. This is what you want. So be it. Joseph, however, when he got word that Mary was pregnant, had a different reaction, a whole different reaction, just as you would have. Now, the term espoused here is a term that we don't use in this day and age. Josh, did you go to Autumn's dad and say, I want to be a spouse to your daughter? What would he have said to you? We don't want to hear it. We don't use that term. It simply means, in our language today, it simply means engaged, that's all. And the engagement was always for a period of time, usually about a year. They were considered as being married, but not in a physical sexual form. They could see her, talk to her, and they could do a lot of things together, but they were not considered solidly married until the time was over for the engagement. So it comes as a little bit of a shock to Joseph to find out that Mary is with child, as most of us would be. And so what do we read here? Okay, then Joseph, being a just man. Now, we're not told how Joseph is told this. We don't know if Mary went to Joseph to tell him, or if the family called them together and had a powwow about it. We don't know. We're not told that. God doesn't give us that kind of information. Just the fact that Joseph heard that Mary was with child. Can you imagine the thoughts that went through his mind at that time? Horrid things. Who? Who did she have a relationship with? And he loved Mary so much, he thought about it. He knew what the law said. He knew that if this were made a public thing, that she'd be stoned to death. And he loved her so much, he really didn't want to see her. But the thing that we hear about Joseph is that Joseph, her husband, being a just man. That means he was righteous. That means he was in line with the living God, obeying him, reading, studying, praying. He was a man who walked with God, even as Enoch of old walked with God. Joseph walked with God. He was a carpenter. He was no big person, but in his little mind and life, he loved God. And so he walked with God. And then he thought, what am I going to do? He tried to go to sleep that night. He had trouble. He kept tossing and turning, as you would have too. And he thought, you know, I just don't know what to do. Okay, all right. I will write her a bill of divorcement on the sly, and I will have her go away somewhere where no one will know what's going on. So far, it's been on the QT, but Joseph knew. He had to know. And so he conjures up this idea of writing the bill of divorcement and sending her away somewhere, because he did not want to put her through the public example of humiliation. He knew what the township would think of it. He knew what they would do. And he did not want that for Mary. He still loved Mary with all his heart, even though this situation has come up in his life. And so he thinks this thing through. And finally, he's able to doze off and go to sleep. Now, even his sleep is not settled. For we read here in verse 20, when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, back then, God spoke to his people in dreams. It's not a problem. We don't hear too much of that in this day and age, although once in a while it does happen. God can do anything, right? All the people shook their heads up and down. Except for Sam back there. Okay, all right. So, in a dream, The angel of the Lord said to him, "Thou son of David," recognizing his lineage, "fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." You see, in the eyes of the world and the family, they were already married. They just had to go through this separation process until it was time to have the big celebration. The angel says, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Wow. Really, Lord? Do you think so? You don't have a clock in here, do you? Not one I can see. I'll put that there just to remind me that I have a watch. Holy Ghost. It took him a while to try to understand that, as you can understand. Well, the angel continued and said, she shall bring forth a son. Already knows who it is. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, when the angel spoke to Mary, told Mary the same thing, "You're going to call his name Jesus." He speaks to Joseph, he says the same thing, "You're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, all this was done that might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Now, this is the second time we read about Joseph. I've got 10 times down here that he reads about Joseph. We should be done in an hour and a half. The third message, the third time we read about Joseph is that he was engaged and he was told to take unto himself Mary. Now, what that simply means is that Joseph was told by the angel of the Lord to bring Mary into his home so that he could guard her, protect her from the public eye, and that he might give her that space of time that God required before he would know her in a sexual manner. And Joseph immediately did that. He didn't waste any time about it. And he took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, this is spoken of again in the book of Luke as well, that he knew her not. He had no sexual relationship with her until the time after Jesus was born. And after that, he had 4 sons and 2 daughters with Mary. But Jesus was not his own seed. Jesus was of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, planted a seed in Mary's womb that brought forth Jesus, the man-child, who was also the Son of God. Joseph had to do away with his plan. No divorce. Not putting her away. He took her to his own place quietly and took care of her. Joseph also was obedient. What he wanted to do wasn't right. God knew it wasn't right. Wouldn't let him. Joseph was not only a just man, he not only was a man who loved Mary, he not only was concerned about her reputation, doesn't say anything about him, he was a man who was obedient to whatever God called him to do. How obedient are we when God calls us to talk to some person, some individual who he brings along our path for us to share with him? Are we just as obedient? Are we just as quick? Are we just as understanding of the fact that this is a person God has sent my way and I need to share a little bit with him? That would be our responsibilities, wouldn't it? Well, Joseph does that. So he took Mary and brought her home. Now, Joseph is working hard as a carpenter. He's probably one of the lower class families in the area. Nazareth wasn't known as a rich community. It was a poor community. And Joseph was a carpenter who didn't have like all the tools that you and I had to put something out in just a matter of a week or so. Probably took him months to do a job, do it right, and I imagine he did. And the pay probably wasn't all that great. So they had very little money. And of course, one thing to keep in mind when you read about all the things that happened here is that Joseph didn't drive a Rolls Royce. We had a man in one church that I pastored that when he drove to church, we never heard him because he drove up in a Rolls Royce. Beautiful. Absolutely stunning. Lifted the hood. Couldn't even hear the motor. Couldn't hear it. It was that quiet. But he didn't have that. He didn't have a Mercedes-Benz even. And he didn't even have an old Chevrolet. He had a donkey that he went down to, went up to Bethlehem with. A donkey. And that took many, many, many days. But let me just share some more here, okay? There's 10 times that Joseph is mentioned in these two chapters. That's a lot of time for a man who we don't know a whole lot about. Joseph, after 8 days, took Jesus and Mary, and they went to the temple and had him circumcised, had him presented to the Lord, and they brought two turtle doves, which was significant of the means that they had. Very poor, very poor. They took two turtle doves for a sacrifice. They were poor, but they were rich. They were poor in monetary gain, but they were rich in quality. They were rich in faith. They were rich in obedience. They were rich in love, one for the other and both for the Lord. Now, some time passes. Well, you know about the shepherds who come that night or the night after. I'm not sure which it was. But the shepherds come and they tell everybody about this. And then there's a time. Now, remember, Joseph is not rich. How much money did he bring with him to Bethlehem? We don't know that. We don't know. We really don't. And I'm sure that when there was found no room in the inn, it could have been for many reasons. Because of what they had done about the taxing and going back to the home place. Could be very well. There could have been other places that were open but cost too much money. Didn't have the money. I don't know about you, but I don't think your pastor would go to the Waldorf Astoria in New York City and pay $900 for one night. Not unless you gave it to him. But then you'd tell him to be careful. Don't spend it all in one place. Anyway, he had very little money. Traveled a long way. They had to buy stuff along the way to eat, imagine. Or eat moldy bread. To come from way over there in the Galilee area, Nazareth, up to Bethlehem. So I'm sure that during the time after Jesus was born, Joseph tried to find some work in a carpenter shop. That was his trade. That would be normally what he would do. He wouldn't go to Lowe's Foods and try to be a meat manager like somebody I know. Okay? He wouldn't go to Food Lion. He went to find a carpenter shop, and he put some time in there. The time that he stayed there in Bethlehem was close to 2 years. We know this because Herod issued a warning, or issued a command, rather, that I should stop. To kill male children under the age of two, not only in Bethlehem and in Judea and Jerusalem, but along all the coast too. He wanted to make sure that this guy whom the wise men came and told was really going to be wiped out. Herod had a heart of evil. So Joseph is there about maybe not quite 2 years. And God sent three, did I say three? We don't know how many God sent. Mankind says three, but we don't know what God sent. We're not told. All we know is they brought three kinds of gifts, that's all. But it could have been two of them had gold, could have been four of them had myrrh, could have been five of them had frankincense. We don't know that, okay? But the world insists that there were three, and they insist that he was there at his birth, and they weren't. Sorry. You may have to change your nativity scenes. The wise men were divinely directed to come to Bethlehem from afar off. And they came with haste, and they followed a star. Now, liberals will try to tell you that, oh, that was just the alignment of some planets that came together and produced an unusual sign. That's all it was. No, I think God divinely had a star that he had designed to light the way for those wise men, whoever they were, those magi, to come directly to Jerusalem where they talked to Herod. And Herod said, well, go and find him, and when you have found him, come back and tell me where he is, and I may come and worship him also. And that was, they didn't know that he didn't mean that. They had no clue about that. Okay, until God told them later. So they left the palace there in Jerusalem, and as they started on towards Bethlehem, someone pointed them in the way, the star appeared again and lighted the way for them to go to Bethlehem. And they came to a house. The child, his mother, his father were in the house, which was not unusual. Joseph had found work. He'd been able to find a place to stay, get them out of the weather, out of the chill, and they were in a house. Joseph was there taking care of baby Jesus. Now, the wise men, before they left that day, that night, how long they stood, we don't know. But the wise men were told by God in a dream, again in a dream, to do not go back to Jerusalem. Do not go back to Herod. Go another way, which he directed, because he seeks only to hurt the young child. So the wise men made another way out. They probably went down through the Dead Sea area and around and back over to where they were come from. Took them out of the way a little bit, but that's right. The Lord led them back to where they had come from. So the wise men leave. Jesus is about 2 years old, and God speaks to him again in a dream to Joseph. And Joseph says, no kidding. God says, get up with haste and go into Egypt. You'll be safe there. Now, I don't think Joseph wasted his time. He was not a man who said, well, I'll give that some thought, Lord. No. Joseph got up, probably from the dream. Woke Mary, told her what was going on. Got Jesus, grabbed the things that they needed most. Probably by that time may have even had a cart to carry his family away. And he left for Egypt, about 50 miles away. But he did it immediately. He didn't argue. We never hear him arguing with God about a directive that God gives him. Never. He just does it immediately. Joseph was a righteous man. Well, he gets into Egypt. God says, you stay in Egypt until I let you know otherwise. Okay, that's all right. So he gets into Egypt. In the meantime, Herod dies. Now, Herod died about, I think it was around 4 BC. So Jesus was born before that. Anyway, God speaks to Joseph again in a dream and says, you can go back to Israel now, for they that sought his life are dead. And so Joseph gets up again, takes his family, and says, it's time to go back. So they go back to Israel. As they come back, and I'm sure that they went back straight to Bethlehem. As they came back to Bethlehem, they had ears to hear, and they heard what was going on. The son of Herod was in charge now. And by the way, all of the sons of Herod were called Herod. Herod Antipas, Herod this, Herod that, Herod the other thing. Wish he'd hurry up and get out of the way. Anyway, Herod this junior was in place. And so Joseph thought, his dad wanted to kill Jesus. What's to say that the son won't do it? So he decides that he is going to go back to hometown, Where's his hometown? What? Good. I just wanted you all to say it together. Okay, Nazareth. So he goes back to Nazareth, and there he gets started once again. Maybe the place that he had before was still available. But there, Joseph acted in the right manner that a man should act with his wife and baby Jesus. God chose a just man. God chose an obedient man. God chose a compassionate man. God chose a man of mercy. Remember, he did not want to humiliate Mary. He wanted to just put her away privately. Joseph was a man that you could look up to. And would be to God that we could be like Joseph. That we would be as loving, as kind, as merciful, as obedient, as caring, as self-sacrificing. He had Mary there with him as his wife, but he did not have any sexual interrelationship with her. He was also the son of David. We should think about Joseph once in a while when we think about Christmas and think of the example that this man, who we hardly ever remember, was. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We don't often hear much about Joseph, but he was there. You put him there. You put him in place so that he could be the guardian, the loving father, the adoring husband of Mary, father, loving father to Jesus, even though it was not his own seed. And he brought up Jesus in the way that the law required. He and Mary did what you wanted them to do, Lord. We don't hear much about his later life at all. But that's okay. You have the record. We don't need to know anymore. But we thank you for this man and what he did at such a time as this. May we be conscious of your leading in our life. May we be conscious of your compassion to us, and so much as we should have for others as well. Bless these dear people, dear Father, as we continue in just 2 weeks to celebrate once again the memory of the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.